Some powerful words that St. Paul wrote at the end of the passage that was read just minutes ago from the Epistle to the Romans. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, this is how Christianity works. This is the great paradox of being a Christian, of being Christians. On the one hand, we and the church are brutally honest about sin. We don't hide it, and we don't try to soften it up. You know, I was dealing with one person who was taking catechism with me and wanting to become Orthodox, wanting to be brought into the church, and one day she announced to me that she doesn't like the word sin. And I said, there's nothing I can do about that. It's in the prayers, it's in the very service that I would do to bring you to into the service. Sorry. She walked away. People don't like to talk about sin, but we are honest about sin. We don't try to cover it up with nice language or change the language, as of course people do in our society today, whatever they're not comfortable with, they just change it to something else. We are uncomfortable with sin. I am uncomfortable with sin. I'm uncomfortable with my own sins. But we are honest about sin. But on the other hand, and this is the other side of the coin, we rejoice. We rejoice in the inexhaustible and immeasurable love and mercy and charity of our God, which is the only hope that we have for our sins, not to whitewash it by changing words, but by trusting that it's all in God's wisdom and everything will be the free gift of God, who loved us and is granting us eternal life with Christ, if we can only be honest with ourselves and with God. Because you see, there is no sin too small to keep us out of hell. There is no sin too small to keep us out of hell. But there is also no sin too big to keep us from receiving the free gift, the charisma of God's righteousness. And God's righteousness produces righteousness in us. And today's gospel reading, I think, demonstrates that message. It was certainly the free gift of God's righteousness, of God's grace, that prompted that Roman centurion, that pagan, to go and look for Jesus Christ. You know, last week we heard that amazing passage from the Epistle to the Romans that said, we are justified. We are justified by faith. We are made righteous, because the word justified is the verb form of the word righteousness. Dikaiosyne in Greek, dikaiothendes is the verb that Paul uses. We are made righteous by the faith, by faith in the righteousness of God. The centurion's faith today that prompted him to go to Jesus was faith that justifies, to put it in terms of last week's reading. But the faith that justifies opens the door to something greater. That's a mistake that a lot of people make. They just stop at, I'm justified by faith. They don't go any further. But that's only the beginning. That was also just the beginning today with that centurion. Psalm 85 says, as I read this last week as well, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Wow. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Here, today, in this gospel reading, compassion and mercy meet in a celebration of truth and peace. The centurion notice, he doesn't ask anything of Jesus. He simply expresses his loving concern for his servant, for his slave. And Jesus replies as only appropriate for Jesus to reply. I will come. I will come. And then something even greater happens. Something even greater happens. In volume one of the Philokalia, there is a work by Saint Mark the Ascetic called The Epistle to the Monk Nikolaos. And in this work, several pages long, he wrote a striking phrase. Ο λόγος σάρξε γένετο, ειν αι σάρξ γένεται λόγος. He takes John chapter 1 verse 14, which says the word became flesh, and adds to it. So he wrote the Logos, the Word of God, became flesh so that the flesh might become Logos. This is very typical of Orthodox theology, Orthodox spirituality, in that we see the mirror process of who God is and what we become because of what he has done for us. And it's a beautiful statement. O logos sarx egeneto, in I sarx genito logos. It just flows out of your mouth, at least in Greek. It's a true completion of the incarnation. And that's what the church is. That's what we should be. The true completion of the incarnation. You know, many years ago when I used to hang out with my very good Calvinist friend, he used to complain to me, you Orthodox talk too much about the incarnation and not enough about the cross. Actually, we talk plenty about the cross, but we talk plenty about the incarnation, because without the incarnation, there is no cross. Without the incarnation, there we wouldn't be here, and there would be nothing for us to talk about. We would be simply pagans. And many of us are, but some of us are not, because of the incarnation, because the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, the pre-eternal Word of God, became flesh, so that flesh, our existence, our lives, can become Word, can become Logos. Because the Word, the Logos, became flesh to sanctify and glorify our humanity and our existence so we can become Word, Logos of God. We become the Word of Christ. We leave this church, this liturgy every Sunday, I hope and pray, empowered by the Word that became flesh so that we can become Word, so that we can become what Isaiah wrote in chapter 50. I love this sentence, two sentences. He wrote, Isaiah, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. Morning by morning he wakens. He wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. That's one of the great statements in the Bible. And it fits perfectly what we believe about the incarnation. The Lord God gives you a tongue to be like those who are taught, who receive teaching from the Lord, who receive from the Word, the Logos. He wakens us. He wakens us every day. He wakens my ear, your ear, as those who are taught, who are taught. Are you taught? Are you open to teaching? Are you open to being taught? I tell people who come to me and want to learn about the Orthodox faith and so on, I tell them, you know, I'll give you a few meetings, I'll spend some hours with you to tell you the basics, but I can never teach you everything that there is to teach you. Because whole of life is a process of being taught. I went to seminary, I graduated from seminary 43 years ago. I am still learning. I am still learning. I am still as one who is being taught. That's Isaiah. And I make the words of Isaiah my own. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul wrote, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Richly. Not just in one ear and out the other. Not just, you know, memorizing a few verses that you can use against Jehovah's Witnesses or against Protestants or against Catholics. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, become you, become in you. Let the word of God become flesh in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You want to sing? Want to sing in the choir? Don't blah, blah. Sing. Or stay in the pew and sing from the pew and glorify God. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the mission. That's what it means to be the church. It's happening in you because it's the free gift, the charisma of God's grace. Before the start of liturgy, if we had a deacon, which we don't, but if we had a deacon, before, you've heard me say this before several times, I like repeating it. I like repeating myself, I'm sorry. So before the start of liturgy, right before the beginning, the deacon says to the priest, "Keros tu piso tu kirio." In many translations of the liturgy, the translators get it completely wrong. And they say, "It is time to serve the Lord." Oh, it sounds so good. I'm here to serve the Lord. No. No. It's only a small part of it. It is time for the Lord to act. That's what that phrase means. Keros tu piise to kirio, that dative to kirio, is for the Lord to act. And as a matter of fact, it's taken from Psalm 118 in the Greek Septuagint, 119 in the Hebrew numbering of the Psalms, which is in most English Bibles, but we use the Greek Septuagint numbering. That's that LXX that you often see in the bulletin. And in that Greek Septuagint, that phrase, "Keros tu piso tu kirio," is followed by "Diaskedasan ton nomon sou," which says, it is time for the Lord to act because they have destroyed your law. It is time for the Lord to come in and destroy those who destroy your law. It is time for the Lord to act. And the same thing happens in the liturgy. It is the Lord who acts. I'm a mere witness in front of the altar saying some important words. and ministering to you, but it is the Lord who acts in the liturgy. It is the Holy Spirit who takes that bread and wine that I carry around the church and gives it back to us as the body and blood of Christ, so that we also can become word. So that the word of God, not just in words, but also physically, to dwell in us richly, so that we also, ourselves, our bodies, our lives, become logos, become word. That's why we're here. But we need stillness. We need stillness right now. I hear stillness in this here. And I don't know if that's because I don't hear well, but I think it is very still in here, very quiet. This is Isihia. Or as it's translated into English, Hezekiah, from which we get a whole tradition of monasticism in the Orthodox Church called hesychasm. You need stillness, like we have right now. Need stillness for the Lord to act. He said in another Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." So hard for us to be still. Hezekiah, beautiful word. That's what Lazarus' sister Mary possessed while Martha was busy doing things. And I think that's also what the centurion in today's gospel reading possessed, perhaps in a different way than Mary. But he meekly surrendered to the authority of Christ. You see, what he told us, what he told Jesus in the gospel reading is that I know about authority. I have people who are under me, and I also am under authority. So he was saying there, and so he says to Jesus, don't come into my home. I'm nothing. I don't deserve to have you in my home. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He recognized the authority of Jesus. He recognized the authority of the Word of God that became flesh. So he says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. It takes stillness. It takes awareness. It takes concentration, understanding who is standing in front of him, for that centurion to say that. So there is external silence, but much more important, Hezekiah is an internal activity. It's not a passivity, it's not being passive, it's not a surrender to the void, okay? We're not Buddhists. There is no void in the Orthodox understanding of creation. Everything is full. Everything is full with the glory of God. Just read the Psalms, especially the last two or three Psalms, 148, 149, 150. Everything is full of glory. Everything is full of praise. Everything is filled with spirit. Mary, the other Mary, our Mary, the Mary, mother of our Lord, the Theotokos, she possessed Hezekiah. She possessed it. At the Annunciation and throughout her life, Luke tells us in chapter 2, Mary kept all these things in her heart. In the core of her being, she kept everything that she saw happening with her son, Jesus Christ. She saw what God was doing, and she kept it all in her heart. And that's where Hezekiah dwells, in the heart. That's the still point where God meets us. And the goal of prayer is for our minds to dwell in our hearts. That's hesychasm, by the way, if you want to know about hesychasm. That's how we become word. That's how we become logos. But let's start by paying attention to what the incarnate word did, because we cannot become logos if we do not see what Jesus, the incarnate word, is doing. And what the incarnate word Jesus is doing is that he is speaking through us. He needs us to speak to the world. He appointed apostles, and the apostles appointed others, and here we are 2,000 years later, continuing the work of Jesus Christ. He's speaking through us, he's healing through us. God can work miracles out of thin air. But ever since the Lord became incarnate and joined our humanity to his divinity, it seems that he likes to do his miracles through us. And it started with the apostles in the book of Acts, and that has continued throughout history through the saints. Many of our saints in the Orthodox Church are called wonder-working or wonder-workers, precisely because God performs miracles through them. They don't perform the miracles. That's a mistake that a lot of people make in the Orthodox Church. And they end up worshiping saints instead of Christ. The saints are mere servants, are mere means by which God reaches out to us and touches physically, not just spiritually. Saints are important to us because they are the people through whom God acts. And God also acts through us. Even if we don't have halos around our heads, we are here to proclaim the word of God, to proclaim his mercy, and to be his mercy and his healing grace in the world. That's our mission. And if we don't do that, then we're not the church. We're just a club that has a nice festival every year. And it was a nice festival. It was a great festival. I enjoyed it. But that's not all that we are. That's not all that we are. We are much more than that. So think about that. Think about how God is using you and how God is speaking through you and how God is touching people's lives through you. It's a very, very important thing to dwell on. A good form of meditation there. The Lord be with you. Amen.